residents. We have Representatives Moyer, Shavkat, Baker, Miller, and Kadena present. Representative Ballmer, would you join us?
Yes, thank you.
I'd like to take up House Bill 37 right now. House Bill 37, of course, we have heard before us before. We have put out a committee substitute. What we've incorporated in this is the three amendments that Representative Ballmer brought to us. They should all be in your packet so you know the changes there. We also, we didn't have a motion on it. We took out the section on taxes for the department. It seemed to be a consensus, although we did not have any motions. I took the liberty of having this. I would accept a motion at this time to have the committee substitute before us if that's the pleasure of the committee.
So moved.
There's a motion to have the committee substitute before us. Is there any objection? Representative Ballmer.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
We're not on for this, so don't worry.
Mr. Chairman, I would just say that I certainly support the proposed committee substitute that you had drafted, and I'd be happy to answer any questions. Thank you.
The only thing I might bring out is we do have one other piece of information I didn't before, and that's the revenue departments. We realize that there is some disagreement within the department and administration with how this board is set up, basically, and it relates to probably a debate that's going to go on for quite a while with this bill. So that is one thing that the committee did not have informed before. Comments? Questions?
Mr. Chairman,
Representative,
do we have any other testimony today on this bill?
Good question. No one has signed up for it.
Was it your intentions to discuss this revenue paper, or can we move the bill out?
I'm open with the committee's pleasure.
Make a motion that we move the bill out of committee.
With individual recommendations. With individual recommendations.
Right.
Objections? So ordered.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Is Representative Davis going to be here? Of course, I'll take up Representative Donnelly. Next, have we done any work on 22? Has there been any
Chairman?
At least temporarily, or for a moment, I'd like to take up House Bill 22. House Bill 22, enact relating confidential communications to legislators, legislators-elect, confidential legislative records, and providing for effective date. This bill has been before us before, and we had a debate. We did invite the press to, for any comments on this. As far as I know, we have no one signed up from the press. Representative Davis, do you have any further input on this?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
We're not on, so you don't need to worry about it.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I guess I'd just like to thank you for rescheduling this bill again so quickly. And a couple of comments. I think that the comments from the press were probably in last night's paper, and everyone probably got an opportunity to see that, at least with some of the press. Although it's interesting that I haven't been personally approached since the first time I mentioned to you last.
Excuse me, was that in the Juneau paper?
The Juneau paper was an editorial.
I haven't seen it, actually. Maybe you could give that to... to staff.
Proposal fosters capital secrets.
So we, in other words, we invite them to come and talk to us about it, but instead they want.
Instead they chose
publish
to
publish it in that editorial.
A couple of points, based not on the editorial, because frankly I think the editorial is very misleading, Mr. Chairman, but based on what I intend with the bill and what I feel the bill does, and I've studied the bill and the related statutes carefully since we talked last. I don't believe this bill allows public policy to be conducted behind closed doors. I don't think it changes that situation. It doesn't attempt to circumvent the Open Meetings Act. I don't believe it does that. In essence, this bill does nothing more than give legislators the option of doing something they thought they had the privilege to do before. Having the option to keep notes and letters from constituents confidential and keep requests to and reports from the Legislative Research Agency confidential. And I guess I'd like to just go in a little more detail. I was thinking about this in relationship to all of my battles over the Open Meetings Act over the years. I was on the Ketchikan School Board, and of course, if you're on a locally elected body, you get into that inevitably at some point. My belief is that the Open Meetings Act is intended to prohibit elected officials from doing business outside the public eye. They meet with each other. They don't mean that you can't go and talk to a group of constituents and have a private conversation with them. They don't mean that. What they mean is you can't get three people from a city council or a group of legislators together and plot against the public behind closed doors. They don't mean that I can't go have a meeting with three or four constituents, none of whom are elected. That does not constitute a closed meeting under the Open Meetings Act. And under this, what this bill is talking about, we're talking about public records of an elected body, I believe, not records of a constituent who happens to want to share some information with me. And those are the distinctions I guess I'd like the committee to consider. I guess the committee's considering the press's response.
Looks like we're all reading.
I'll let you read.
Good afternoon.
That's not the press. Chairman, they were invited to this meeting.
Were they notified of this?
We did send a memo over to the press room to ask for their input.
Mr. Chairman, in fairness to the press as a group rather than the press as individuals, I think that people I have talked with really don't have a problem with the concept that I'm trying to entertain in this bill. I think this is kind of one of those instances where perhaps the person that wrote this editorial didn't even read the bill or certainly didn't understand the intent behind the bill and feels there's something more to it than what is presented on the surface. I don't think that if we were able to sit down with any of the individual members of the press and talk this through, that we would have that, necessarily have that reaction from all of them. So I would hate to see this as being this is what all of the press in the state of Alaska and the entire Western world believe about this bill. I don't really think that's necessarily true. But if it is true, I guess I really don't care, because I think what I'm trying to do is a worthwhile objective. And if the press doesn't like it, I guess I've fought the press on other issues before, because they're
sometimes things need to be confidential, Master. I believe that. It's a flat fact.
That's why I got elected chairman here, right?
Right.
Make these decisions. Yes, Representative Gruber. Let me say this much before Representative Gruber. I do have someone on teleconference that I do want to allow to have make a statement on another bill, Representative Donnelly's bill. So, Representative Davis, we probably aren't going to have time to get through the debate again today. So I probably won't be able to move this bill, but I would like to try to get a consensus of the committee here of a direction that we think we should go, and Representative Gruber.
I think, as I said before, I think this bill is a very difficult public issue, and it's not the kind of thing that we should just rush through, because it's frankly won't be rushed through by the rest of the legislature. They're really going to take their time. There's going to be a high level of public interest in this. I don't think it's as simple as the editorial says. I don't think it's as simple as the sponsor says. I think the truth lies somewhere in between. For example, one thing that this committee may want to consider, Mr. Chairman, is whether there should be some standards for confidentiality. I could see, in certain cases, a case where somebody's physical safety may be in danger, or something like that, where there would have to be confidentiality. I can see other circumstances where there would be a real public interest in getting into the content of the communication. And maybe we should consider putting some standards in this bill.
I'm wondering if there's some other people we should ask to come before us on this bill, and suggestions who those people might be.
Mr. Chairman, at the last meeting on this bill, there was a motion that we sent it to Judiciary, and with the letter explaining the concerns that Max brought up. We have the Judiciary Chairman here today. Is that still possible?
We can do basically whatever we want, and what you're saying is this an issue that the lawyers should deal with more than
I didn't want to use the word lawyers, but yes, Judiciary should deal with this issue, I believe, Max.
Representative Gruber.
That's up to this committee. If this committee wishes to defer to Judiciary on this or any other issue, Judiciary will deal with all the issues. Every issue that this committee sends, Judiciary will deal with. But I'm not sure that you want to do that. I'm not sure you want to abdicate the responsibility. I don't recommend it. I think this committee has its own responsibility.
Representative Baker, you got an idea?
I concur with Representative Gruenberg that, I think it's not proper public policy to pass a bill along to somebody else and say, you deal with it. I think that we need to, as a body, stand up and have our input rather than just pass it along.
Okay, what I'd like to do right now is put this committee bill in subcommittee, and I'd like volunteers to serve on that subcommittee. Representative Gruenberg, Representative Baker. I'll serve also on that subcommittee.
That's why I wanted to send it to Judiciary. Representative
Davis, I appreciate your time, and I know where you're trying to get to. See if we can help you get there.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Representative Donnelly, would you take the table, please? At this time, I'd like to bring up... HB 86, sponsored by House Judiciary Committee, and proposes to extend the filing date for the end of the year, 8 o'clock before, to December 31, to February 15th. The technical change to the campaign finance reporting law is intended to make filing year-end reports easier for candidates and groups. It is also meant to facilitate the filing and processing of final reports by APOC staff. Jim Donnelly is with us. We should be getting Karen Borman, the Director of Alaska Public Officers Commission, on the teleconference. Representative Donnelly, if you want to just give us a real brief thing, and that way we can allow her to testify. Notice on her written statement she has three separate amendments that she would like to do, I believe.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The bills are as simple as a bill could get. It just changes the final filing date for year-end reports from December 31st to February 15th. The other two changes are simply drafting changes to conform with the drafting manual. They're not substantive changes. So the only change of substance appears on line 13, where you insert February 15th and delete December 31st of each year. The reason for that is that the December 31st date is, of course, impossible to technically comply with unless APOC stayed open until 12:01, you know, after midnight, and everything, and you got everything that you were going to get at the end of the year. And even if something showed up on your doorstep and you technically received it, you'd be in technical violation of the law because you couldn't report it by that date. So since everything's still coming in on December 31st, it's still supposed to be reported on December 31st, the statute is just simply erroneous and miswritten. APOC's recognized that, and even though they don't have the ability to ignore statutes or conflict them in regulations, they have done so anyway and allowed us to file the reports at a later time. I think it's January 15th, and that, of course, they don't really have the authority to do that, but since it's impossible for anybody to report for things coming in on the 31st, they figured they had to do it. So this would simply change the date to a date that would allow people to have their final bank statements for many campaign accounts available to them, and all the information available to prepare a more accurate final year final report. I always end up amending my report, very frequently I end up amending my report to some later time when I get the final interest statements and when I really know what's in the account. It's very difficult to you can't comply with this law as it is now. So that was my idea, is something that I'd wanted to clean up for several years. Been hoping that another bill or something would pass through rather than have to do a separate bill, but it's just that I think it's really important when you have something in statute that it be something that's possible to comply with. And this would simply clean that up. APOC has produced a position paper with, I believe the members have in their packets, where they do support the bill as it is now written. They say that we should support this legislation. The one-month delay in year-end campaign disclosure report available to the public is offset by more complete and accurate reports. There's no elections going on that time of year anyhow, Mr. Chairman. It's a year-end wrap-up. Nothing's happening then, so it wouldn't have any particular significant impact on the public's need to know any of this information. They do go on and propose additional things they would like to see done, not changes in the substance of our bill, but things they would also like to address. I think their proposals are very reasonable, things that do need addressed in the statutes. The so-called window in the filing dates where people can receive money and not report them, I think those do need to be addressed. My only concern would be that if that's the committee's will to go ahead and do that, that we have a title drafted that's very tight so that it doesn't become a catch-all bill at some other point, because then that means, once again, it might be subject to not making it through the process. And it's such a simple cleanup that I wouldn't want to have it become some sort of omnibus roll everything into bill. Okay. Thank you for the opportunity to be here today. I appreciate the opportunity to listen to the prior legislation, too.
Some of us would have appreciated it, giving it right to you. Do we have someone on teleconference?
Yes, sir. Karen Borman.
Mr. Chairman?
Go ahead.
This is Karen Borman. I'm the Executive Director of the Alaska Public Offices Commission. If it's the committee's pleasure, I would be happy to testify now.
Thank you, Karen. We do have your written testimony. All the members of the committee have read it. So please, if you have other things to add or any other justification, that's what we'd like to hear.
Mr. Chairman, I do not have anything to add. I would be happy to try to answer any questions that the committee might have.
Thank you. Representative Gruber.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Ms. Borman, I don't have any problem with the third amendment. I do have some questions, particularly about the second proposed amendment. I don't see what your proposed language change does that the present bill doesn't do.
Mr. Chairman, the second amendment deals with the idea of making zero reports mandatory. And you are correct in that there are minor changes to the statute as it reads. However, what this says is by changing the statute to eliminate
I understand what you're, Mr. Chairman, I understand what you're saying, and that may be true to a member of the staff of ACOG, who is intimately familiar with each and every regulation and knows this thing and how they all go back and forth. I don't think that's going to be at all clear to a candidate who has a zero report. I don't think they're going to have the slightest idea what you're doing here. And if you want to do it, then let's do it in a very plain language. And let's simply add a sentence that says, there shall be a zero report required for each and every candidate, so that the public knows. Because I don't think anybody except your staff is going to know what this is doing.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Gruenberg, your point is very well taken. We would accept something like that, and we would be happy to work with the committee to develop some language along that line if that would be helpful.
Mr. Chairman?
Representative Gruenberg.
Thank you. With respect to the first amendment, I was under the opposite impression that the language as it is very clear, that I see what you're saying, that because on line 5 it says, because just because of the way it's written, it's not clear that it goes through December the 31st. Is that your point?
That is correct.
I see. Okay, then I don't have any problem with the First Amendment. But the Second Amendment, Mr. Chairman, I think we need to have that explicitly drafted so that even us candidates can understand it.
And I believe, Representative Donnelly, you would not want their recommendation on the title change also. You would want it to be tighter than what they recommended. They recommended just taking out end of the year, so that would be obviously a very broad title.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Yeah, I really don't want to see a broad title on this bill. I think it's real technical cleanup here, and we ought to keep it that way rather than big sweeping changes in policy being rolled in here.
Anything else from the committee on this, Rick? Does anybody have any objections if we try to incorporate the changes recommended by APOC with Representative Donnelly's recommendations and try to come up with a committee substitute to bring back to the committee? Any objections to that? Representative Gruenberg.
Yeah, with the understanding that they're going to redo that amendment, too.
With that amendment, too, we want the specific thing that if there is no activity, a zero report is required. No objections? All right. Thank you very much for testifying, Karen.
Thank you for the opportunity.
So this bill will be back before us shortly. Thank you, Representative Donnelly.
Thank you.
We're off teleconference. All right, the next meeting of the House State Affairs Committee will be Wednesday the 20th, so there's no meeting this Friday or next Monday. At this time, we'll be hearing it. We have on the schedule House Bill 4, which is the ethics bill. We have on the schedule first hearing in House Bill 129, which is relating to the Public Officers Compensation Commission. I believe I had this put on because I believe it's very directly related to the ethics bill. We have been requested by the speaker to hear House Bill 126 at our earliest convenience relating to the program receipts cleanup. This is a reformer bill that came through the Ledge Council.
I'm not sure who it came through. I think it's a bill by request, though. I'm not sure.
Would you repeat the title, Mr. Chairman?
Relating to program receipts cleanup.
Is it street cleanup?
No.
Program receipts.
Program receipts.
Not streets.
It's a technical bill that the Finance Committee needs, so I also had that put on there. So I haven't reviewed the bill, so my intentions will be to try to do that bill first if it's something that I see we can get through. But I haven't really had a chance to review it. Mr. Chairman? I just gave you my job, man.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. One issue that came up in a subcommittee on another bill that relates to House Bill 126 that I'd like to have the committee consider conceptually. In some cases, some boards and commissions raise more money than it costs to operate them. And those boards are subsidizing the operations of the Division of Occupational Licensing and other boards. And there's a real policy issue that came up in conjunction with a new board that's being considered in another field, whether that's fair, whether people should be charged an additional sum of money to subsidize the operations of boards that are losing money, or whether that's really something that the public as a whole should be doing, rather than just happen to be a money-making board.
Is this related to some bill that was before us?
It relates to this program receipts thing.
Oh, I see.
And I'll be raising that as a policy issue, because we've been operating under that policy, and I don't think it's fair to those people who happen to be in a money-making board situation. And that's, I'm just raising that sort of alerting that I'll be raising that issue.
Of course, the oil company could then argue that why should they raise more money for the state than the mining and timber industries, which don't raise any money for the state. So. Okay.
It's a slippery slope, I guess. Huh? But we're dealing with our voting constituents.
Anybody else have anything? If not, we'll stand adjourned at 9:50 till next Wednesday. Have a nice long weekend.
Oh, you too. Do we have a joint session then?
Yes.
It is.